The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Reconcast, a podcast where two homeschool dads share the applications of faith in everyday family life.
Welcome to Reconcast. Hey everybody, this is Joe Graham from Reconstruction Life. Got another podcast for you today. We got a pretty special interview. I don't want to waste too much time here talking to you guys. I want to share a couple things with you, but I want to send you straight over to the interview here in just a bit. But I wanted to kind of let you know a little bit about what's happening here in Reconstruction Life. So we've been working hard. We're getting a lot of material out right now through the website, on YouTube, and we just got done finishing hosting the Pacific Northwest Reconstruction Meeting. It was great. We had a bunch of attendees. I had six amazing speakers. All these men came in and they talked about such a wide variety of topics and had a bunch of just Reconstructionists. They were able to get together and kind of talk with each other and just meet and share back and forth. It was really amazing. We had some wonderful discussion, and then there was a great meal that we had on the backside where we were all able to just kind of spend time together. It was wonderful. I'm grateful for it, and I'm already thinking about what's going to happen the next time. And I've already got my feelers out there, and I'm starting to think about it, what it is we're going to do in the future. So my first thing is that I want to hear from you, from me to you, what I'm thinking about as far as the next Reconstruction Meeting. The last one that we had was just kind of a smattering of different topics, but I'm thinking I want to get a little bit more focused on some particular areas. So the areas that I'm thinking about having the next Reconstruction Meeting is going to be on business. So if you are out here in the Pacific Northwest and you identify as a Reconstructionist and you happen to be listening to this show, which is probably a very small number of people. But anyway, at any rate, if you meet that, then please get in touch with me. Email me, admin@reconstructionlife.com. I want to talk to you about business principles, business practices, how we do this better as Christians. And I'm thinking about, this is my initial thought, is to call it the Pacific Northwest Reconstructing Business Meeting. So that's kind of where I'm at. Maybe that's kind of a mouthful. I might have to kind of fix that a little bit. But anyway, but you guys get the idea. We want to talk about that. If you want to hear about what we did at the last meeting, then you need to go to the website. You need to go to Reconstruction Life, and then right there, right up at the top, I put it up on the header. It's got the header that says messages, and I have all the messages on there. You can hear the clips. They're published out on YouTube. We talked about taxation. We talked about the internet and spreading the gospel. We talked about multi-generational families. We talked about civil liberty party, the Christian Liberty Party, abolition, the law of God. It was a bunch of stuff. If you go, you can get the meeting bundle. I have it. If you bought all of those talks individually, it would be like $30. So if you buy the whole bundle, it's only $20, which is great. So we will be offering probably in the future. I don't know when. I'm just kind of making all this stuff up as I go. But I will be probably offering another discount in the future. But the discount, guess what? Spoiler alert, only went to the people who are signed up as on our newsletter. So if you're not getting our newsletter, you need to get on there, put in your email address. You get our free ebook, Building Family Bonds, 5 Ways to Bring Your Family Closer Together. And listen, I understand a lot of the people that are probably listening to the show, they're already very committed to their family, but that's okay. I still want to be able to get in touch with you, and I want to be able to share with you some of the things that we're doing. So even if building family bonds doesn't sound like something that is interesting you too much, it's something that I'm thinking about in my house. So I just kind of share some of my tips about some things that we do in our family, that kind of some of the idiosyncrasies and things that we thought of that kind of help us just kind of grow together more closer. Anyway, but you can sign up for our newsletter, and then future discounts will be coming out there. And then as we continue going, we're building more and more products, where we're doing an entire line of T-shirts on our T-shirt shop. That's all listed under our products there on our website. We've got all kinds of different T-shirts that are coming out. My wife is just amazing. She's just like a designer mania over here. So putting that stuff out, you can go. You can find that there at the website too as well. Ultimately, I just really want to hear from you guys about the kind of stuff that you're thinking about. Do you have questions about stuff? I mean, okay, honestly, let's get serious here. I know most of the people that are listening probably to this podcast, you know, are probably just already of the Reconstructionist bent. And that's great, but I'm really not completely, totally targeting those people. Who I really want to talk to is I really want to talk to the homeschool families, the ones that have no idea what all this Reconstruction stuff is. They just want to homeschool their family, and they want to hear from a homeschool dad about what the stuff that he's thinking about. For those people, I really just want you to get a chance to go and just kind of dive in with us and digest some of this other stuff that we're getting into. Interviews like we have today with Scott LaPierre, he's got so much stuff to talk to you about and share with you. He's going to be talking about the family and about interacting with his wife. And he's going to be talking about manhood, about what's happening in America. He's going to talk about submission. He's going to be talking about so many important things that even men need to help understand. Okay, if we're going to be talking about leading our family, we need to be thinking about the way that we're doing that. So we've got lots of interviews that we have on all of our podcasts. We interviewed Scott Brown. I interviewed Joel Riles. Interviewed Chaplain E. Ray Moore. Got lots of all these wonderful interviews. Just go listen to those previous episodes and get filled up. If you have ideas about other people that I can interview, let me know. Shoot me an email. Let me know some ideas about what you have. I'll try to get in touch with them and see if maybe they're a good fit here for the Homeschool Podcast. But I'm out there trying to reach people, talk to people that may be interested in things that have to do with business or have to do with politics or have to do with family. This is the beauty of it, is that that everything in our life, in Christian life, touches all these other areas that we're interested in, that we're involved in. And we do need to be thinking about it. We can't just be a one-dimensional type Christians. We have to be thinking about all these areas. And it's robust, and it's challenging, and it's difficult, and it's why we need to be thinking about it. We need to be busy. We need to be getting a lot of stuff done. And I think, actually, Scott talks about being busy here in the podcast, too, as well. Just made me think about that. So, anyway, guys, I have the distinct pleasure today of introducing you to Scott LaPierre. Now, I'm going to give a little bit more of an introduction here when the interview started, but he wrote the book Marriage God's Way, a biblical recipe for healthy, joyful, Christ-centered relationships. And I'm telling you this as a friend, I really do like this book. I like his style. I like the way he talks. I like the way he breaks things down into a simple, easy to understand, very digestible way. Okay, he doesn't mince words. He'll speak clearly, and it's truly refreshing, and it's a blessing. So I'm grateful that I got an opportunity to meet him, and I'm grateful for further opportunities to interact with him. He was on the YouTube channel. We interviewed him about how to do family worship, and it was great. I thought it was really, really quick, kind of bang, bang, just kind of discuss about how family worship goes. So I'm definitely going to recommend you guys to go to his website, scottlapierre.org, and get more information about his ministry and what he's doing down in Woodland, Washington. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to take a short break here, and then we'll be right back to get into the interview with Scott LaPierre. Okay? Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Are you interested in Christian education? Would you like to learn how to be a Christian teacher or how to run your very own Christian school with success? The GCS Apprenticeship Program can help. Learn more on our website at gcsapprenticeship.com.
My name is Andrea Schwartz, and I have been active in Christian education for over 35 years, having homeschooled my three children all the way through high school. Now that they are all graduated and grown, I spend my time mentoring women, helping them become the best teachers for their children. I hold online office hour meetings every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time using the Zoom platform. These get-togethers provide homeschooling moms the opportunity to ask questions and get advice in areas they may struggle with as they educate their children. And for those contemplating homeschooling, they can discover how to get started and stay the course. Each week, I will cover a specific area, but the bulk of the time will be spent addressing issues most pressing to you. These meetings are free, but you must register to participate. Search on Facebook for the event entitled Weekly Office Hours with Andrea Schwartz, and then click on Get Tickets.
All right, everybody, the interview with Scott LaPierre is coming up right now. Thanks for being back with us from the break. So much for us to talk about. I don't want to waste too much of your time here with me just ranting on here prior to getting to the interview. So we will meet you up on the backside. Here comes the interview that I had recently with Scott LaPierre. Hello, everyone. Welcome here. I have a special guest with me, Scott LaPierre. He is a senior pastor at Woodland Christian Church. He wrote the book Marriage God's Way, which actually is very good. I do have a copy of it, and I'm working my way through it, so I'm very appreciative of it. But I want to welcome Scott LaPierre to the podcast. Scott, welcome.
Thanks, Joseph. Glad to be here. Glad to have the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Yeah. So this is a homeschool dad podcast, so we kind of talk about dad type stuff. So dad stuff that's happening out there in the world, man, there's a lot of things that are going on. And I don't know Scott about your perspective, but it seems like dads are waning, like as far as how fatherhood is looking in the culture. I mean, I don't know if you ever see some of the TV shows that are on, but they do not put dads in a very good light.
Right. No, we don't, however you want to say it, watch a lot of TV or movies or something, but it does seem to be a fairly common theme, you know, that men or fathers are presented to be inept and incompetent, and they're not presented in a positive light, and they're usually unable to do something, and then the mother or the wife has to do it, and so
right,
it's just
right.
This.
She's the competent one.
Right.
He's the gullible, laughable
right.
idiot.
And we sort of expect that this would be the case in the world. If God calls men to lead or to be the head, that the world's agenda, which is going to conflict with God's agenda, is going to do the opposite and make men look like they can't lead and that they're, you know, failures and so forth.
Yeah. So one thing that I think we had talked about a little bit before that is definitely a cultural issue is the complete blending or removing of the distinction between men and women. We're basically we're becoming asexual. Like there is no such thing as sex anymore. There's no such thing as colors. No such thing as sex. And this is, you know, and aside from the very dangerous perspective that this creates for culture in general, it comes, I think, intrinsically from all these social issues kind of do: homosexuality, transgenderism, racism, these abortion. It comes from poor views of the family, and so what are your thoughts? Like, you know, your congregation is going to be dealing with a lot of cultural stuff. We're seeing it on TV. It's on the internet. Like, what are your thoughts here as far as the family's engagement with these issues?
So, I don't think there's really been another time in history that we have seen such an attack on the gender distinctions, and there are definitely things that are taking place now in the culture that aren't just being accepted but are being celebrated, that previously, even if people considered, they never would have shared with anyone else out of shame that someone would find out. You know, imagine a man who thought of being a woman. Even if he had that desire, he'd suppress it as much as possible out of fear that anyone would have any idea that even crossed his mind.
Yeah.
Or the idea that, you know, parents would raise their daughter to become boys. And so previously, even only a few decades ago, these are the sorts of things that people kept as far from them as possible. Now they're the sorts of things where you can get awards for. I mean, Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner, and I think GQ's Man of the Year, Michael Sam, nothing more than just being the first drafted player to declare his homosexuality. I mean, these are the sorts of things that were previously shameful, now being rewarded. And so there hasn't really been another time in history, at least to my knowledge, when this sort of attack was coming on so strongly from the world. And so these things affect families. I mean, they affect the world, or the world that our children are growing up in, because they see these things. We're trying to protect them from them. And now we're having to talk about things around the dinner table that we never imagined. You wouldn't have expected some number of years ago that you're going to be out with your children and have to explain to them why there's a third bathroom there. You know, there's the
right.
men's bathroom, the women's bathroom, and it's like, what's this third one? And so,
yeah, it's pretty tough. And then just thinking about, I mean, I have to think about it too, is from a dad perspective, like I have to guard and be protective over, I mean, just the stuff that they may come in contact with. So I'm worried about, internet control. And mm-hmm. I'm very, very mindful to make sure that I'm trying to impart on them clear biblical guidance mm-hmm. for what God says about this kind of stuff. And I mean, mm-hmm. and it clearly is becoming more and more, they're becoming more self-consciously wicked. You know, mm-hmm. and as they're continuing to live out the depravity of their mind, they're just being, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, we're really in need of a lot of prayer for these people mm-hmm. because God's basically letting them go. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said that really well. I appreciate how you said live out that depravity, whereas there used to be, now it's just being sort of applauded, like I said earlier, and whereas mm-hmm. now it's being encouraged to live that out.
Yeah.
And It you go back to the beginning of Scripture, and in Genesis 1, and then it's repeated in Genesis 5, God made them male and female. And so that's not just a discussion of God creating humans. You see clearly there's a discussion of God creating two separate and distinct humans, one male and one female. And then
right.
the rest of Scripture goes on to show the clear differences between those roles and responsibilities.
Right.
And it seems like much of the problem relates to the word equal. And what equal does and doesn't mean. If you are to discuss differences between men and women, then the staunch egalitarian immediately criticizes you and says that you think men and women are not equal. But just because you think people are different doesn't mean that you think they're not equal. Or just because you think two people are different doesn't mean you think one has greater value or lesser value
right.
than the other. And so in all of my discussions, I mean, that's almost always what comes up. If you discuss the differences regarding the roles and responsibilities of men and women,
right.
which is the complementarian view that men and women complement each other, you know, fit together well, that's how God designed us, then the egalitarian view, which not just, you know, blurs, but like you said earlier, even removes the lines between the genders. The egalitarian criticism is that you're chauvinist. And you think that this is demeaning to women, and you, if you happen to think that men are the head of their family, then you think that women have less value or something. That differences in roles and responsibilities doesn't mean differences in value.
Right, for sure. And then, I mean, even when we think about in the Trinitarian aspects of God, I mean, they're all three persons of the Trinity are equal. They're equally mm-hmm. God, and not one is higher than the other. Mm-hmm. But they all have different functions.
Well said.
They're all doing something different to accomplish the purposes.
And we even see perfect submission within the triune nature of God.
Right.
If you happen to think that wives submitting to their husbands makes wives inferior to their husbands, then by extension, you have to also acknowledge that the Son is inferior to the Father.
Yeah, and the Spirit too, because the Spirit gets sent by the Father and the Son. Right. Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean, but the Bible has a totally different perspective, right? That those who are serving or submitting, I mean, my wife was talking to me about this recently, and one author, I think, had mentioned that the husband is the glory of Christ and the wife is the glory of mm-hmm. the husband. And so really the wife is, from the Bible's perspective, the glory's glory. It's like the crown jewel on the crown jewels, mm-hmm. right? So
that's a great point.
You know, so she's like the most beautiful part that shines through in what the Christian life is and mm-hmm. means. This is not a demeaning mm-hmm. thing. It's to show the beauty that God is showing in his creation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the Proverbs 31 passage, we recognize the application that has for wives. We call that like the virtuous wife passage. And it's interesting, at the very end, there is this discussion of the husband being in the gate, in this position of prominence or leadership or respect mm-hmm. within the community. And it begs the question, why would there be this discussion of the husband being in this position in a passage that we understand is almost entirely to or about women? And the reason is it's a credit to a woman for her husband to be in that position. The idea is she should be applauded for her husband being respected within the community, because there's no way that he would reach a position of prominence or respect, whether in the community, whether in the church, even in the family, if not for having a godly wife. Because we know there's plenty of men who are disrespected in the church, in the community, even in their homes, because of the way that their wives treat them or disrespect them. And so it's a credit to this woman that her husband can, you know, be in that position.
Yeah, and it's definitely a blessing from the Lord as a godly wife is. So then you wrote your book, Marriage God's Way, and so what is your, like, what's your encouragement? Like, encourage these homeschool dads that are thinking about this, like, you know, how are we combating the culture just from, you know, trying to embrace what it is that God has for men?
Sure. So rare is the man who won't work to take care of his family. There are definitely some deadbeat men out there, and there are some women who are upset that their husbands don't take better care of the family physically or financially. But what we more commonly see is men who aren't taking care of their families spiritually. And so we will see men, I mean, they might work two jobs, they'll work, you know, 60, 70 hours per week to make sure that their families are taking, that there's food on the table. But the question is, you know, is a man feeding his family spiritually? What sort of spiritual food is he providing? And so my encouragement would be, let's make sure men are being spiritual leaders in their homes. I would say, and I say this as a pastor, that one of the reasons we're seeing some of the weaknesses in the family that we're seeing is because churches are allowing families, or they're allowing fathers to abdicate their roles as a spiritual leader of the home and somewhat taking on a responsibility that belongs to the father. Yeah. And so I'm trying to own as much responsibility as I can, just as a pastor, that this is a reflection of what's taking place in the church, that churches are taking the part of that mantle that should rest entirely on the father or husband's shoulders. And so what I would say to the men is read the word with your families, be a spiritual leader in your home. Don't think that that's the pastor of the church's responsibility. Don't think that there's this home fellowship leader, Sunday school teacher, or youth pastor that's going to be this individual for my family. I mean, this is the wife God has given you. These are the children God has given you. I mean, in Deuteronomy 6, you know, the number of times that it says, you do this, you know, you put these verses here. When you rise up, when you lie down over your door, who's the you there? It's talking to parents. It's talking to father. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers not to exasperate their children, but they're the ones who are supposed to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so that rests not on the church's shoulders, not on the senior pastor's shoulders, but on the father's shoulders. And so get your families together, read the word together, pray together. You know, if you get up early and head off to work before your family is even up, then when you come home at night, then that's when you have your prayer time together. At the end of dinner, you get your family to get their Bibles together and read some verses or a passage or something.
Yeah. I think something that I noticed too, and I'll talk to myself as well here, but I think what comes up in people's mind when they think about male leadership or headship is that it's going to turn into this lording over of another person in terms of authority, which biblically speaking is exactly the opposite of what Christ wants. Like, he does not want authority. He will place people in authority, but he doesn't want them to lord it over people. He's actually putting you in a position to be the top servant.
Well said.
To give to somebody else, right? So like, if you think about the civil capacity, like, they have authority over certain things, but the purpose of why they exist is to enable the rest of us to live out what God has for us.
Well,
same thing like with a church, you know, the pastor, he has authority to enable fathers and the members of his body.
But you're serving this church, working.
Yeah, to, you know, to serve each other and to serve their families. And the same thing with fathers, that he's giving fathers authority in their home so that he can be shepherding and guiding and leading by saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it with me, you know, and I'm showing you where we need to go, and let me help you along the way, and let me guide you, and let me pray for you, and let me, you know, be a servant. Like if you wanted, I mean, if in the biblical economy, if you want to be the first, then you make yourself last. Right.
Well said. Yeah. It's interesting. We were talking earlier today about you're an officer in the military. I was an officer in the Army. And I just remember when you were saying that, that when I was commissioned and there was a general that I respected who put my bars on me. Is it the same in the Air Force that you?
In the Navy.
Yeah, you asked someone that you respect to come and put the bars on. And so this gentleman, he swore me in, and then he was putting my bars on. And he said something to me that I had not thought at that time about the application it would have for the family, for the marriage, and for the church. But he said something along the lines of, you have been given a tremendous amount of authority in becoming an officer. And you need to be more concerned with your responsibilities than your privileges. And he was talking about that need that if you are given this authority, then you need to make sure you, you know, you take care of your troops and so forth, and that you're probably the one who will get the least amount of sleep. You know, you tell them to get down in the ditches, you need to get down in the ditch with them. And so there's a lot of application to the family too. I mean, the father is the one who should be working the hardest and who probably gets the least sleep. And
let me give you an example. This is just something that I noticed when what you're talking about reminds me. So my wife and my children, they try, like when we sit down to have dinner, they try to save the biggest steak for dad or the biggest piece of meat or whatever. And I'm very, very thankful. And so for me, when I'm at the table and I see like my little kids who, you know, like the smallest ones on the far end of the table, because we do sit at a pretty large table. They'll say, is there any more meat? Oh, there's no more meat. And I will be right there like, boom, honey, here, I'm going to give you some of my meat. Let me give you some of what I have. And if anybody wants from what I have, you can have it. Like, I don't want to keep any of this for me. I want to feed all you guys. So it's like the same, like you're saying, this reciprocal relationship. Like, we're honoring our father, and then he is very gracious to just give to us, right? And it's exactly the way God
treats us.
What
we see from Christ,
right?
What we see from Christ. He's easily the hardest working. He's doesn't have time to sleep. You know, foxes have holes, and he has no place to lay his head. And I mean, I know that's referring to his itinerant ministry, moving around. But the point is, he was that busy. You know, his family, I think it's Mark 3, they thought he was crazy because he didn't have time to eat. They're going to come and take him home and say, you can't keep living like this. But it looks to how I mean, the feeding of the 5,000 took place when Jesus was pulling the apostles away to get them some rest. And then they're exhausted from being sent out on their trip. They return. Jesus is going to take them away someplace privately. And then the crowds come. And Jesus welcomes the crowd and teaches them. And because they're spiritual.
All right. Sorry. I apologize for that, Scott and everybody. Battery issues. My bad. I'm a terrible podcaster. terrible. So, but I appreciate your patience and hopefully. Sure. But I can assure you that what
God
you missed.
God didn't want whatever we talked about.
What you missed is going to bless me with what we talked about. So let's just look back into we're talking about dads and leadership and stuff. So you just share with me a little bit, please. What do you notice? Like what's the great dearth? What doesn't exist? What are the common problems that that church people are facing?
Okay, sure. So I can understand when you start having a discussion of male headship or men leading within the home that the immediate fear is that a man is going to be a dictator or is going to be a tyrant within the home or the marriage. And what we see is we see men be like that, but not so much within Christian circles. I mean, some ungodly men, independent of anything that Scripture says, because largely they're ungodly men because they're not given over to Scripture. I mean, when men are familiar with God's word, what takes place is a woman is elevated to a position of prominence and care and love and adoration that she doesn't know. If you look in, what I mean is if you look in non-Christian areas of the world or places where the gospel has not been introduced,
they have a very low view of women.
Exactly.
Very low view of women.
It is the gospel being introduced. It is Christianity that elevates women out of this mistreatment. Yes, of prominence and love and care and so forth, and turns men who are tyrants and dictators into loving, kind, Christ-like men.
Right.
And so what people discuss sort of as a fear, yeah, sure, there are definitely some men and who would call themselves Christians who mistreat women or take advantage of.
Sure.
But that's not a reflection of Scripture. That's a reflection of the sinfulness of their hearts. That's the opposite of what God's word commands. And so it's interesting when you when submission is discussed or headship that you think all these women are going to be just terrified of men abusing them or something. And again, I'm not denying that that takes place sometimes, but just in my role as a pastor and 10 years of pastoral ministry, the most common criticism I have heard from women, in fact, I can probably count on one hand the number of times that I've heard a woman say, my husband is abusing the authority he has. Again, I know men do that. I don't hear that very much. Instead, I hear lots of women saying, my husband doesn't lead. Mm-hmm. I wish he would lead. I want him to take the reins for our family. Yeah. You almost have women, I don't know if I'd say they want to submit, but they want a vision because it's, you know, women have flesh. Submission is difficult for anyone, but they want a vision for their home. They want to know that decisions can be made by godly spiritual men. More often than not, it's women who are saying, my husband just won't lead our home.
Yeah. It's hard to submit to no decisions.
Sure. Yeah. Can't like that idea. You can't steer a car that's not, that's not going forward.
And I've had friends that have talked about the same kind of thing, that you're discussing here. And I mean, so I think that all men intrinsically, they are leaders. They're just either good or bad at it, you know, so they may be leading poorly, but they are leading.
You're setting an example one way or the other, you mean?
Right. You know, so you may be leading poorly by not doing anything, by not setting a vision, by not or you may be, you know, leading towards something very, very bad. But both are, you know, both are examples of leadership. So, you know, that's just like this, honestly, is like a totally another separate subject. I mean, yeah, establishing the fact that men do have that men have headship and women are supposed to submit, but they're both equal before God, and they're both meant to complement each other, glorifying the image of God in the two of them. But there is definitely some issues happening culturally where, you know, I guess there's just men don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. But you know, this is what I'm noticing too, because I'm. You know, I have a ministry that I'm trying to reach some men. Most of them, it's not even just that they don't know what to do. They don't even want to do. They don't even want to do. They're not even inspired to see that through the family and through raising a godly family and partnering with a wife that they can, you know, that they can actually exhibit and exert tremendous amounts of kingdom influence over the rest of the society. I mean, you talk about all these Christian families here that are just, you know, lone warriors in their world here, but they're creating a Christian culture by the way that they're raising their sons, raising their daughters, being committed to these ideas. That's going to be a stark contrast to what we see in civilization, and to see people who are fundamentally standing on principles that the culture is, you know, they waver on. They're very relativistic. They just want, you know, whatever feels good, you know, it's in follow your heart or something like that, instead of saying, no, I my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. I need to be guided by godly principles and let my heart be shepherded and guided towards that. And I think my perspective is kind of just that, you know, a lot of men, they haven't seen it yet. They just haven't seen the vision of how through the family they will make the most lasting impact on their society.
Well said, yes, the future. Yeah. Yes, you're making a great point. I'll say something briefly, if not to make an excuse, but to be sensitive to the position most men are in. You imagine a man works hard and he's also taking care of his home. I mean, he's exhausted from working all day, and the free time that he has, you know, he's trying to take care of things around the house, and he's trying to spend time with his wife and his children. And so whatever can be pushed off the plate often happens to be the spiritual influence he would want to bring into his home. And so he tells himself, I take my family to church and I'm satisfying my responsibilities as a father and husband. I'm being a good spiritual father and husband. And so, you know, I guess my point is part of it just relates to men being tired and being busy. And I did hear a man say one time, and I thought it was humble. He said, men can just be spiritually lazy much more than we can be lazy. In other words, and the other thing that relates to what you're saying is churches have become very seeker sensitive. That's popular. You know, we're very concerned about unbelievers coming in. And I think this, and I'll make this brief, I know it's not the main topic of this discussion, but we need to think about what Sunday morning is for. Is it for unbelievers? No, it's time for believers to worship together. It's a worship service. Unbelievers can't even worship. Right. It's not an evangelistic service. I mean, this is why many Christians or many families coming to church are sort of emaciated, because there are messages that are very watered down. They lack much substance, because we're trying to make sure we say it simply enough or plainly enough for any unbelievers who come in to understand it.
Yeah, it's being directed towards the unspiritual, the ones who can't even discern the kingdom.
Exactly, it's being directed to unbelievers versus believers.
Right.
And so, as a result, families within the church suffer. Well, the reason I'm mentioning this is churches should be investing in and pouring into those families that are, you know, are part of those congregations. Well, it's the same with parents. We need to be investing in our children. And you think about, well, what's going to make the biggest influence on the future or for coming generations? Mm-hmm. Sure, it's reaching out to your neighbor. Sure, it's sharing the gospel with coworkers. But if all parents, all fathers were investing in their children and just discipling those children, I mean, we hear these terrible statistics about the number of young people who grow up in the church and then they abandon the church. They go off the deep end.
Yeah.
Well, part of that is rests on the church's shoulders that, you know, we're not doing the job that we should be doing as churches, but part of that responsibility rests on the parents too. I mean, you hear these statistics and everyone's getting upset at the church and criticizing the church, but you wonder how many of these parents have been investing in their children, preaching the gospel to them, raising them to know the Lord from a young age. Yeah. It's hard to imagine that there's going to be that many children who are going to be abandoning the faith if parents are going to be pouring into them. So just kind of to connect the dots, I think that the way we see churches being very seeker sensitive, reaching out to trying to bring in all these unbelievers, you'll see family, and when the churches should be pouring into their own people, parents should be pouring into their own children.
Yeah.
They need to be discipling them. If I talk to a father and he has, you know, five children, well, those five children should be the biggest mission field for him.
Yeah.
That's where his, and if we all have
all
that
his
approach,
arrows, right?
Yep.
That's
exactly.
Right. You're a warrior, and then you're filling it. I mean, that's what I always think about, is that, like, the Bible describes children as weapons of warfare. And honestly, I think that maybe that may be part of it too, is that most fathers don't feel like they're engaged in warfare. And if they felt like they were engaged in warfare, you know, because we're military men, and I think military men would understand this, that, yes, we talk about tactics and techniques, but we're certainly, weapons are an important aspect, along with strategy, sure, but that's the way the Bible talks about the family. It talks about children. It talks about, hey, we're warriors, we're engaging the world, and we're shooting off our weapons. So, hey, you want more weapons, probably more than less weapons. Mm-hmm. And you want them sharp.
If you recognize you're in a battle, which is the case.
And you want them sharp, and you want to aim them. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Yeah, we want to be making sure that the arrows are sharp, that they're pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. Great. Well, Scott, I appreciate the time that you took here. Sorry that the recording got a little bit.
Like I said, I guess God didn't want us to share that part. So
yeah, but it was great. So it was good for us to talk. And so look forward to, you know, sending people over to your website. They can see you at scottlapierre.org.
Yes.
Right. And then we can check out your book, Marriage God's Way, which does come with study guide.
There's
right?
a work. Yeah. There's an accompanying workbook for it. Yep.
Excellent.
Work through for with couples together. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Joseph. Glad to be here with you.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
God bless.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. That's it. That's it for the show today. Thanks for joining us. I've got more interviews planned in the future. Sorry that we didn't have Dan here. Dan, he moved. He moved his family to the eastern part of Washington. He's busy. He's got a lot of stuff going on, but we're on track. We're going to be getting together again here very, very soon. So come back for another episode of ReconCast coming up soon. We're still putting together these podcasts. I know it's sometimes it's few and far between, but email me. Let me know what you think. If you have advice, I would love to hear it from you. Email me at admin@reconstructionlife.com. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ReconCast. Don't forget to visit ReconstructionLife.com and ReconstructionistRadio.com.